I'm happy now to welcome Weston Wilson. He is an environmental engineer, formerly with the Environmental Protection Agency, and Kathleen Dudley, who is the co-founder of the educational group Drilling Mora County. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
So, Wes, you were employed by the EPA since the 1970s. What prompted you to seek whistleblower protection status and then present your concerns about drilling and drinking water to Congress?
Well, in 2004, EPA completed a study of the possible risk of hydraulic fracking when used in coal bed methane recovery. And it was during the Bush years I was just concerned of a number of problems within EPA. And when several colleagues and I looked at this report, we found glaring problems. First and foremost, EPA found that the drilling fracking fluids were toxic and that they stayed in the ground, but yet EPA concluded there was no risk.
You saw some real risks. What were the risks that you saw?
Well, we saw the risk that the fracking fluids themselves contained diesel and other components like benzene, toluene, ethylene, xylene. Since then, we've learned it contains a whole lot of more chemicals, many of which are toxic, some of which are unknown. So what we saw as the risk was either poor well construction resulting in these fluids migrating into the drinking water, or what I call systemic risk, that is, even if you have a good well, these fracking fluids and methane might migrate vertically up into drinking water sources.
And so what are some examples of places where drilling of this kind has affected people's water?
Well, you can look at the Fruitland coal formation in the San Juan Basin, just over into La Plata County, where the gas drilling of this type has caused unwanted methane to migrate up dip and kill trees and create explosive problems in some people's homes. And if your readers or your listeners would look at the movie Gasland, there's a host of sites contained in that movie that present, you know, anecdotal information from citizens that say there's actual problems. Largely, however, these problems go uninvestigated by the State Oil and Gas Commission. This industry's constant theme is there's never been a case of hydraulic fracking causing a risk. But the problem is they want us citizens to accept that the absence of data is a proof of absence of risk. That's not true. The absence of data just means our state commissions have not investigated.
And in your view, from what you've seen, would you say there is a risk?
There most certainly is a risk. The fluids they use are toxic. Not all come back to the surface. When I advised EPA to study was two types of systemic risk. That is, risk that can always be there. One of them is the air pathway. The toxic fracking fluids are brought back to the reserve pit and allowed to evaporate. Anyone breathing that can have a health problem. The other type of risk is the kind that occurs just with brittle geology. They're fracking deep underground, but vertically they create new pathways for the methane and the toxic fluids to move upwards.
And have you personally seen cases where it looks to you as if people's drinking water had been directly affected?
Yeah, I think one of the clearest cases here in Colorado is in Garfield County, where work by Dr. Jeffrey Fine, the Energy Institute at the University of Laramie, has proven that the gas migrating to the surface there is thermogenic gas. By thermogenic gas, we mean gas that came deep from within the ground, gas that was created by high temperatures and pressure underground. The industry, however, is constantly claiming that such gas didn't originate from them, that it comes from bacterial decay and not from their activity. But in the case of Garfield County, Dr. Jeffrey Thane has conclusively investigated and found that the gas coming to the surface that caused contamination was due to the oil and gas drilling, which was done by fracking wells.
Have there been other similar situations in other places in the U.S.?
Just last June 3rd, there was a major blowout in Clearwater County, Pennsylvania, from deep drilling on the Marcellus Shale. It resulted in the largest fine by the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection that's ever given. It gave a $400,000 fine to EOG Resources for causing that blowout. Just after fracking this deep well some a mile and a half down, created very high pressures at the surface and blew out the blowout preventer. Your listeners are going to be familiar with the blowout preventer because that's the key piece of equipment that failed in the Deepwater Horizon event in the Gulf. But this is a case where it occurred on the surface right there in Clearwater County. It was fortunate that there wasn't a fire, but they had very high pressures, and it was a result of developing that shale formation using hydraulic fracking.
And those are two examples. If time permitted, we could probably speak of many more.
Yes, indeed.
Why is it, how did it come to be that an entire industry is exempt from the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act and the Clean Air Act and a lot of other environmental laws?
Well, with respect to the Safe Drinking Water Act, it largely stems from this 2004 report from EPA that I just told you about, where EPA logically concluded there was toxic materials in the ground, but it didn't pose a risk. Based on that report, Congress acted in the summer of 2005 and exempted the practice of introducing these fracking fluids from the Safe Drinking Water Act. Prior to that, the industry had a number of exemptions. It was exempt from the nation's hazardous waste laws, called the Bevel Amendment under the Resource Conservation Recovery Act. It's largely exempt from the Clean Air Act, kind of for an odd reason, principally because the rules don't allow EPA to put all the sources together from one field and call that an emission source.
So what kind of community response do you see on the ground in places where people say that their health and their water and so on have been affected? Because there certainly are many reports of people's theretofore perfectly clean wells and drinking water suddenly was toxic, smelled like fumes, and burned their skin when they took a shower, and all sorts of reports along those lines.
Well, if you're talking about a property owner that has been affected, often what you see is they call the State Oil and Gas Commission and ask for an investigation. All too frequently, however, the industry and the oil and gas commissions respond that that's not due to drilling practice. And so often the advice given by these states is to the private landowner to hire their own attorney.
And what happens then?
This industry has made a practice of over 100 years of not admitting to any fault, but buying out property owners that make a reasonable case that they've been contaminated. Often they buy the property owner's property right, but with the condition that the property owner remains silent about the consequences.
Is there a way to do drilling safely so that people's water is truly protected?
This is a large and rapacious industry, but there are ways to drill it certainly much more safe than currently done today. One of the key practices would be that if you bring these fracking fluids and production fluids back to the surface, that you not allow them to sit in a pit and evaporate and contaminate people or property. Therefore, it has to come back to a tankage and be managed properly. The other way is to make sure that there is adequate geologic separation between these frack zones and the surface so that there isn't unwanted upward movement of methane gas.
It seems to me, reading all the stuff that I've read and seeing the documentaries about this industry and about the great power differential between the companies that are doing drilling and the people who are affected by it, that there is a kind of attitude on the part of drilling industries that's really unnecessary, which is basically we can do whatever we want. And it seems like if there were a different attitude, then drilling and human habitation and clean water and all these things could coexist. What's your take on that?
Well, that's interesting you talk about the attitude. I would talk about it as corporate contract rights. Often, the industry is making a private contract with a private landowner, and they're just subject to the state rules, largely, that speak to do not contaminate. The problem with this industry, though, is contamination often occurs underground, hidden, and remains unknown, either for a very long time or decades later before you know some of these problems. But largely, the industry enjoys its corporation rights, either with a private landowner or, in the case of federal or state land, once they purchase a competitive lease from the federal or state landowner.
Kathleen Dudley, you are with Drilling Mora County, which is an educational group up in Mora County. What are your concerns? What's happening right now?
Well, we continue to put on educational forums, and one of the reasons for this particular interview today is Weston Wilson is coming this Thursday, July 22nd, to Mora at the VFW, and he will be presenting on his report to Congress and the potential impacts hydraulic fracturing could have on the Las Vegas Basin in the Mora and San Miguel counties. So we continue to bring educational forums to the people. We continue to increase the size of the grassroots effort because as large and powerful as industry is, we are well aware that it's going to take a big force from the people to keep these leviathans out of our county. And if we look to other counties and we see where shale bed methane resources exist and where hydraulic fracturing is taking place, we find some concern, deep concern, that industry isn't being responsible and could pollute our aquifers. And so we are working as proactively as we can to let industry know that they're not welcome in Mora County.
How are you actually doing that? I mean, there are great legal issues concerned. If they have mineral rights or drilling rights or whatever, they don't necessarily need to listen to the citizens, or is that not true?
Well, the oil industry must get a permit from the Oil Conservation Division in New Mexico, which is a part of the Energy Minerals Department. And they must also get a permit from the Mora County Commission. Now, we recently had an election, it was a mandate from the citizens to protect our county against oil and gas because one of the commissioners beat out an incumbent, and it was a very strong statement that in Mora County, we really are wanting to hold truly to our development guidance system, which is the ordinance that was put together in 1995 by a commission, which states that any industry that comes into Mora County that could potentially pollute our water, would spew noxious fumes into the air, or create ill health among the people, or deplete our water, is prohibited, those are the words, is prohibited in Mora County. So we have our own rights as human beings for self-government. And given that, we have our own local ordinances that are very true to the voice of the people. And the voice of the people back in 1995 and again this year have said we want to protect our agricultural community and we want our health and we want our clean water. So we are working towards that end.
Tell us more about Mora County.
Yes, it's the population in Mora County is about 5,200 people. It's primarily rural. It's all basically all rural land. There is only one incorporated area. It's a small village of Wagon Mound, and the rest of it is unincorporated. People have been living off this land for the last 200, and some families have been even here 300 years. And it's a very quiet northeastern New Mexico way of life, and the culture is very intact and the land is pristine. There hasn't been a dirty industry in Mora County, so we have a lot to protect here. The people feel very strongly, from what I have seen over the last nearly 3 years of working on this issue, that there is a lot of wealth here in the intangibles and, of course, the tangibles of the earth, and that we are a community, a county, that will stand up and fight for our rights.
Wes Wilson, you took whistleblower status when you went to the U.S. Congress to report on these toxic chemicals that the EPA was permitting the oil industry to put into the ground. Did you get any retaliation after you did that?
Well, the kind of retaliation I got was no longer being given top assignments. I used to represent the United States government and EPA throughout Europe, sometimes in South America. So the really choice assignments were no longer given to me. And I find it, you know, just sort of a shun tactic. But they did not risk my job or anything. What happened after I made this claim was that EPA's inspector generals did start an investigation in the early part of 2005. But unfortunately, once Congress passed the Halliburton loophole, it's what we call the exemption from injection of fracking fluids under the Safe Drinking Water Act. Once Congress passed that exemption to the industry, the inspector general stopped the investigation.
We know that the Bush administration was very friendly toward drilling industries and not particularly friendly toward the mission of the EPA. Has that changed under the Obama administration?
Well, it's changed a little bit. At least EPA is now conducting a new study of hydraulic fracking. So despite its conclusion in 2004, this industry just didn't even need to be studied. The Obama administration, EPA, under Administrator Jackson, has started a study. It's budgeted a little about $3.5 million, and it'll take over a two-year period. And the focus is to determine by EPA whether hydraulic fracking poses a risk to drinking water.
Kathleen Dudley, what kind of citizen action are you looking for from listeners outside of Borah County?
Well, I think that if people can become aware of what is going on and the basic lies and the cover-ups that are happening, and if people begin to show up at their commission meetings and write letters to Congress and play an active part in spreading this word to other people, that's going to be, I think, some of the most important action that people can take. Because when we are educated, when our minds are clear, when we see the lies, and when we understand what industry and our state and local governments are doing to promote this hydraulic fracturing without the necessary studies to protect our health and our animals and the environment, then we are basically giving up our rights as human beings. So as long as we exert our rights and let our elected officials know where we stand and what we want to see from them, then we are a concerned and involved public, and that is the key.
Kathleen Dudley is co-founder of Drilling Mora County. Once again, they're at drillingmoracounty.blogspot.com. And Wes Wilson is an environmental engineer, formerly with the EPA. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.